Dan Shelley, thanks for joining us this morning on Talkers Radio. Obviously, this situation between the president and the press strikes at the very core of the relationship between the media and the government. Before we go further, what is the RTDNA's Voice of the First Amendment Task Force?
We formed the Voice of the First Amendment Task Force almost 2 years ago now, when the heads of companies that operate newsrooms in local communities across the country approached us and said, hey, you know, all this enemy of the people, fake news stuff that's emanating from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that's starting to affect our local news crews in communities all over the country. And we need RTDNA to step up and be our voice to defend press freedom and to defend news media access and to defend the First Amendment. So that's when we created the Voice of the First Amendment Task Force. And it has two objectives. Number one is to defend against every real or perceived threat to press freedom and the First Amendment, all of the First Amendment. And number two, to help the public better understand why what we call outstanding responsible journalism is essential to their daily lives.
If somebody said, doesn't the president have the right to a First Amendment as well, how do you answer that?
Oh, he absolutely does. And we in no way are attempting to stifle or chill any message that the president wants to send. What we are doing, however, is responding and being proactively reactive, if you will, anytime he or any of his supporters, in government, out of government, local officials, anybody, anytime they try to chill the free press in America. That's just wrong.
Now, you have issued a statement demanding that the White House restore Jim Acosta of CNN's media credentials, which were taken away after yesterday's contentious encounter between Acosta and President Trump during the press conference. First, what is the status of that at this point? Have you had any private conversations with the White House about this? And as of this moment, 11:05 a.m., has anything happened to indicate that the credentials will be restored?
No, nothing has happened of which we are aware, but we're standing in lockstep with the White House Correspondents Association, which has also called for the restoration of Mr. Acosta's hard pass, as they're known at the White House, and in lockstep with the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. Jim Acosta is Hispanic, and therefore NAHJ has joined with us and the White House Correspondents Association and the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press in demanding that the hard pass be reinstated to Mr. Acosta. He has every right as a legitimate, responsible journalist to hold the president accountable by asking hard questions. And we think this is a case of retribution against one of Mr. Trump's arch nemesis, CNN, and particularly Jim Acosta. And we think that's wrong.
Now, part of this whole story is the president or the White House claiming that Jim Acosta put his hands on a staff member of the White House or in some way was physically inappropriate. What is the reality of that?
I watched the news conference. I have watched the video of that moment in the news conference at least a dozen times since. Any objective viewer of that video will see that he did nothing of the sort. She attempted to forcibly grab the microphone from his hands. He held on to it. He even he kept his professionalism, by the way, and even said, "Pardon me, ma'am." So he treated her with respect. And then for the White House to come out hours later and issue what, by my belief, it was a false, certainly misleading statement about Mr. Acosta having laid his hands on this reporter, assaulted this intern, mm-hmm. assaulted this intern. I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I witnessed it as well and agree with you that that certainly is an exaggeration, to say the least. People that are not that familiar with the inner workings of the White House and the relationship between the reporters, the whole idea that the president issues a pass to people who come to ask him questions indicates that the government has the upper hand in this thing called access. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but this is a philosophical can of worms. How does that work? This is obviously not the first time the issue of those in power taking access away from those who ask difficult questions has come up. But this one is just so overt, it brings this deeper issue to the surface. How does that work in terms of the delicate balance between getting along with the White House or the government enough to have this access while still having the freedom to ask tough questions?
Well, during normal times, the White House press office works closely with the White House Correspondents Association to credential journalists to cover the White House and to have access to the president and to his top aides. But these are not normal times. I can't remember another case where a White House has revoked in a punitive fashion the so-called hard pass or credential of a legitimate journalist simply because the president was annoyed by the questions he asked. I mean, think back to the Reagan administration and all the time Sam Donaldson stood on the White House South Lawn and screamed questions at President Reagan. Other reporters did as well. President Reagan understood the role of a free press in our democracy. He never revoked Sam Donaldson's hard pass or any other reporters, as far as I'm aware.
So this is a heightened, exaggerated, unprecedented level of hostility toward the press that you're saying there was a respect that has now disappeared. And you obviously think this is a slippery slope toward First Amendment rights and the freedom of the press being abridged.
I think we're sliding down that slippery slope, and it concerns me greatly, and it should concern every American, because Jim Acosta and those other journalists who were at the news conference at the White House yesterday, who cover the president, who cover other federal officials, who cover local officials, cover local issues and local government, they're doing that at the behest and in order to serve the public. Jim Acosta isn't in that room because he enjoys being in that room. He's in that room because he has a job to do, and that is to help create a more informed and educated society. And that's the role of all journalists.
And
our advice, go ahead.
Is there the fear that Trump's behavior could be mimicked now by mayors and governors and senators? And certainly we hear it's being mimicked by leaders of other countries, but within the microcosm of our nation?
Oh, it already is. We have, since we formed the Voice of the First Amendment Task Force several months ago, we have heard dozens and dozens and dozens of stories about local elected and other public officials taking cues from the president and using the term fake news, and or in some cases, enemy of the American people, to justify limiting reporters' access to public events and public documents. We've seen lawsuits filed against media outlets, news organizations, local news organizations that use the term fake news. The president sets the tone. And unfortunately, this president, when it comes to the First Amendment and particularly press freedom, has set a tone that is being followed by folks who have a longstanding grudge against the media, either because they just don't like the stories that are being reported. They find it inconvenient to their whatever their personal or political agendas are, or they just don't understand the role of a free press in a free society.
Last question, and something that I deal with as publisher of Talkers Magazine, which maintains two positions: one, nonpartisan; two, support of the First Amendment. That's our, when people say, well, where do you fall? I say, my politics goes as far as the First Amendment. I am a vehement supporter of the First Amendment. Beyond that, I am nonpartisan. But I have found in today's hyperpolarized society that polarization and political partisanship has seeped into the media in a big time way. One cannot assume that everybody in the media and in the press is nonpartisan. Have you gotten any negative blowback from members of your own association on a political level because of this type of position for the First Amendment and the confrontation that you're having with the president?
Well, let me step back for just a second. Yes, we're having a confrontation with this president because of his attitude, his policies, his statements regarding the responsible journalism. We call it responsible journalism to distinguish from the fake, the real fake news, if you will, that
right.
does exist in today's world. No, we've not had much blowback, but we're nonpartisan as well.
I know.
Yes, we're going after President Trump at the moment, but we also were very tough on the Obama administration, which actually did jail journalists, a couple of journalists, for refusing to reveal the confidential sources that leaked information to them. So we were very hard on the Obama administration, and we're unfortunately having the same situation here, only in a different way.
Dan, I'm glad you answered the question, and I'm glad of your answer, because I will get heat as well just for talking to you about this from some of our constituents who will immediately see it through a lens of politics and take it out of context. So I know you're busy. I really appreciate, on behalf of the industry listening to this and Talkers Magazine, you're taking the time to join me this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.